Psalm 107. This morning I want to preach on the goodness of God. Psalm 107. When you found that, also find Ephesians. Hold your place in Psalm 107 with your left hand and Ephesians in your right hand. Ephesians chapter 4. But first we're going to look at Psalm 107 and verse 8. Psalm 107 and verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His... Talk to me. What's the next word? For His goodness. And Tony, if you want to close those... Oh, she closed the doors. Good. For His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would praise the Lord for His goodness. Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I want to talk to you about the loving kindness of God this morning. When we talk about kindness, I mean, isn't it true? It's wonderful when somebody's kind to you. It really, somebody just doing something for you, not because they owe you, not because they feel it's their duty, but they're just kind to you. It makes your day. We know about examples. Jesus gave us an example when He taught us about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was not really welcome in Jerusalem and in the area around with all the Jews because he wasn't a Jew. And... yet, there, on the road to Jericho, he sees a man who has been mugged, who has been beat up, who has been left for dead. He is bleeding. He's wounded. And the Samaritan, unlike other people who were passing by, he was moved with compassion. He didn't care about the fact that that Jewish man might hate him, that Jewish man might reject him. He said, I need to act. And he showed compassion on that man. Jesus taught us how to love our neighbor with that. But beyond the Good Samaritan, there are lots of examples and lots of illustrations of kindness. I read of a teacher in her class asking their children to explain what loving kindness is. And a child stood up and said, well, if I was hungry and somebody gave me a piece of bread, that would be kindness. He paused for a moment and then he said, but if somebody put a little jam on the bread, that would be loving kindness. I kind of like children. A man named John Wesley, who was a great preacher in the late 1700s, he wrote this as a rule for his life. He said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can. In all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can, do good to all that you can. That's a pretty good rule to live by. Jesus summarizes it, as you would that men do unto you, do also to them. It's called the Golden Rule. Then there was a man, he was a preacher back in the 1800s. He was in New York City at the time, and he was helped considerably by a fellow pastor during his trip. He needed to make several... He didn't know how to do the subways. He had to get from place to place, very rushed. And there was just all kinds of schedules and things. And this other pastor helped him out during the trip. And as he was leaving by train to go back to Chicago, he said to the man that had been such a help to him, he says, if you ever get to Chicago, call to me, and I will try and return all the kindness. In reply, that man said, don't wait for me. Just do it to the first man that comes along. Boy, that's humbling. Kindness. I have heard many stories this week, and I've experienced several of them, of just being kind to the people that we've met. I know it's made the difference in my life when somebody's been kind. And I've watched it make the difference in other people's lives. But the truth is, we're not very good at being good, are we? We're just not. That's why we have a Love Thy Neighbor week to sort of kickstart us, to remind us there's some people out there who have problems a whole lot worse than we do. And but there is one who is always good. If somebody ever says, oh, you're a good person, you need to be like Eric will say, there's none good but God. We need to remember the one who is constantly and ever only good. If you'll bow with me in prayer, I want to talk about him this morning. Father, we come before you and ask you to humble our hearts. We want to be a blessing. You told us and taught us to be kind and to love our neighbors. Lord, we kind of fail at that. We almost always fail at that. So maybe if we got our eyes back set just on you for a little while, maybe that would kickstart us for a good long while. God, I just want to talk about how good you are, how worthy you are of our praise. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for your goodness and your wonderful works to the children of men. God, I pray for every heart to be encouraged and every need to be met spiritually through the preaching of your word, like you promised. I pray we wouldn't be the same when we leave here this morning. Bless the Sunday school and the children as they learn. In every area of this ministry, God, please help somebody and everybody to be helped. Especially that person who does not know where they will spend eternity, does not know you as their Savior. Pray for somebody to accept the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. Now, there are things that we forget. Jeremiah, if you're in Ephesians, you got to go back into the Old Testament. Find a book after Isaiah is Jeremiah. Chapter 2. I've grown up with four women in my house. You know, I thought we were down to just two, and then we got a new dog, and Lizzie's the third woman again. You know, there's something about a woman that we're going to talk about here that can teach us a great illustration here. Jeremiah chapter 2, women, when they're getting ready to go out the door, is it true or not? Don't be mad at me, but is it true that they have to prepare to go shopping? You know, the lipstick, the foundation, you know, but that's okay, that's fine. But look at what the Bible says about that. Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse 32. Can a maid, the maid being a woman, this is an unmarried woman, can she forget her ornaments, her earrings, her bracelet? Can she forget to dress up? Or a bride, will she forget her attire? If a bride is getting ready to get married, she's going to think about every detail, isn't she? So normally, ladies, don't forget those things. And look at it. Yet, my people have forgotten me days without number. Just think the next time that you're headed out the door and you're looking to that mirror, ladies, and you're looking in there, you're checking that every hair is right. Guys, we do the same. Next time when you think about, that spot is showing, or, you know, just you're making sure, remember that you are thinking about details about yourself. Have you remembered God? You remembered Him. Because God says, my people forget me. So things you should not forget about. Acts chapter 17, the first thing that we really, especially in this day and age, with all the television, with all the movies we watch, with everything that we involve ourselves in, we forget. And we get this idea that we're an accident. We forget that God made us. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and Paul is preaching to a crowd of heathen. Acts 17 and verse 32. He's actually in Greece, in Athens, Greece, and he says these things. 1725. We'll go back to verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing, understanding that he is Lord of heaven and earth. I'm sorry, seeing that he giveth to all, what? Life and breath and all things. Everything you got from who? Your very life. Now, you go through life, don't you? And we forget that. We forget that we're not an accident. Don't forget, God made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. One of the things that Nita's teaching in there in Sunday school, we're talking about the Trinity of man. And Nita's teaching the body, soul, and spirit, but God made you. You're not an accident. It is a miracle that you're alive and breathing. Rocks don't breathe. Rocks don't love. You're not a product of evolution. Don't forget that God made you. God created everything. Secondly, things that we forget are we're to blame for the messes that we live in. We're the ones that have ruined our lives. The first and most important thing we do when we talk to somebody in Reformers Unanimous or you're dealing with somebody who's not born again is you can't blame anyone else but yourself. You can't blame God. You know, he started things off right, didn't he? We made a mess of things. We can't blame it on our genes and say, well, you know, I drink because it's in my genes. No, you drink because you're too proud to admit that you need help. You drink because you have not learned to rest on the Holy Spirit, so you'd rather turn to a bottle full of spirits. You cannot blame anybody else for the mess that you're in but yourself. We forget that. It's quiet in here, I know. And the third thing is that God is good to us anyway. God is better to us than we deserve. You're in Acts. Go to left, find Psalm 145. Psalm 145. If there's trouble in your life, there's a person behind it. There's somebody. Now, there's a devil as well. But I think we blame the devil for really just somebody who's just not being what they ought to be. In spite of it all, God is good to us. Psalm 145 and verse 9. The Lord is good to how many? And his tender mercies are over all his works. Aren't you glad he's good to all? You know, Matthew chapter 5 says he makes it rain on the good and on the evil. You know, God is good. He's good to us even though we don't deserve it. Those are things that we forget. We forget that we are not an accident. We forget that we're to blame for all the messes that we find ourselves in. And we forget that God loves us anyway. Amen. But there are four things I want you to remember this morning. And this is the whole message. Just four things that I want you to remember. In Psalms, go to the right. Find Jeremiah again, and then the next book after Jeremiah is a small little book called Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. Four things we need to remember. Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, lamenting, sadness. You see, it is really a sad book. It's about the coming judgment of God on Jerusalem and on Israel, on the nation of Israel. A final blow because of their sin, and it's full of sorrow. But here in the middle of that, it's a great little bit of sunshine. Lamentations chapter 3, and I want you to see, first of all, the thing you must remember is something called the mercies of God. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind. This I remind myself. Therefore have I hope. You want some hope? You need to remember these things. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's, what? That we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They, his compassions, are new every morning. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to to the soul that seeketh Him. You know, mercy is lenience. When you're merciful, it's somebody not getting in trouble when they should get in trouble. That's what mercy is. And it's because God is merciful that we're not all in hell this morning. If anybody's been alive very long and gotten behind the wheel of a car, you know you should have been dead at least 3, 4, 5 dozen times by now. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. If there's nothing that makes you want to shout, it ought to be the fact that God's good. God is very lenient. We are all in trouble with God. Don't kid yourself. Don't try and kid me and tell me, well, I'm not that bad. You're bad enough. You may not be as bad as me. I may not be as bad as you. But that doesn't matter. We're in trouble. And yet God is merciful. You may seem all nice and sweet on the outside, but you know that you're a sinner on the inside. You know you've broken most, if not all, of God's commandments. If not physically, you have done it the spirit of the law. And deep down, if you'll admit it, you know you deserve God's judgment. And yet God is good to you. He's patient with you. He waits on you. God is merciful. His compassions fail not. They don't wear out. They don't grow old. Aren't you glad? Matter of fact, they're new every morning. He's not like us. You know what we're like? We're in the morning. In the morning, we look like we just resurrected. We're not new every morning. Right, Leo? Good night. 4 cups of coffee and we may start to feel a little new. But God's mercies are new every morning. They don't wear out. They're not like brakes. I was thinking of Bozzy. He was driving on a car that the brakes went out. You know, brakes wear out over time. They just wear out. And then they're gone. You got to get some new ones, right? But God's mercies never wear out. They are fresh, strong, and new. Most of us have very short fuses. Aren't you glad you're not like God? Or God's not like you, put it that way. His mercies are always there. He starts over with you every single morning. He's like, now, Lizzie, I had to be a little... Kelly sometimes thinks I'm going to kill the dog. Because, I mean, Lizzie gets up on things and she got a hold of a whole bunch of bananas yesterday. She ate a bag of cold pizza yesterday. She is learning there is food up in them there hills above her. And, But you know what? 5 minutes later, she just loves me, amen? And in a poor way of comparison, you know, I fail, I mess up, and God's just still good to me. He just loves me. I don't understand that. The mercies of God. Great, I like how he uses that word there in verse 23. Great is thy faithfulness. Are you unfaithful? You inconsistent? You up and down? Are you fickle? You know what a fickle is, don't you? You unreliable? Well, thank God he's not. He has mercy on us. God is good. It's in his nature to be lenient. You ever played a game? How many of you like to play Monopoly? You ever played that game Monopoly? I know people only play on their iPads anymore. When I was a kid, I loved Monopoly. But as I got older, I didn't enjoy it anymore because people began to play like it was real. I mean, it was serious to some people. Anyway, I'm pulling out of this game. I mean, friendships are going to be ruined over this game because they want to be so precise. You landed on my hotel. You owe me 4 million euros. Wow, no grace, no mercy. Wow. I'm telling you, I'm just glad God has mercy because he could be very precise, couldn't he? Secondly, go to Psalm 103. You're in Lamentations. Turn back to the left, find the middle of your Bible, Psalm 103. never forget, it is of the Lord's mercies that you're not in hell right now. That God gave you another chance to know Him and to follow Him. Secondly, never forget the blessings of God. I sometimes wish, Brother Dennis, that we just have a Sunday night service where I said, anybody got testimony? And there was no time for me to preach because everybody just wanted to praise God and thank God. Now, I'm giving you a secret. Now, if you don't want me to preach some Sunday night, just start giving testimony. We run out of time. But isn't that the case that we're like, well, yeah, I'm still here. I'm glad you think that's a blessing, but wow, can we stop and just count our blessings? Psalm 103 here just begins to touch the hem of the garment about blessings. Listen to King David as he prays. And in this prayer, he asks for nothing. Isn't that unusual? He just sits there and he remembers how good God is. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and here's our words, forget not all His benefits. Take time to remember His goodnesses, His kindness towards you. Verse 3 says, who forgiveth how many of your iniquities? I like a God who can forget it all. I really like a God who can forget it all. Amen. Humans don't do that. We remember things, don't we? But God can forget and forgive all our iniquities. He is, listen, look at, you're in Psalm 103. Just hold your place here because we come back. But this is too good. Psalm 86. Go back to the left, find a few pages. Psalm 86 and verse 5. You know, it'd be terrible if God had to forgive. Because it's kind of like, oh, you know, like two children, the mom, because say, you're sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Say, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And your fingers are crossed, you know. God doesn't have to forgive. The Bible says He is ready to forgive. It's what He wants to do. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For the Lord, for Thou, O Lord, art good. And ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. He is so ready to forgive if we would just humble ourselves and just ask for it. Back in Psalm 103, verse 3, He not only says He forgiveth thine iniquity, but He's the one who actually heals all your diseases. Now, I thank God for doctors. I'm really glad for doctors, okay? I've had some times when my children were sick, Joel had spinal meningitis, I was glad for a doctor. I was glad I'd go somewhere, but I'm telling you, while Joel was having his, at 10 months old, while he was having his spinal tap done, I was in my car crying out to God saying, God, I need you. Because I know the doctors are going to do their best, but the doctors can only work with God. They cannot take the place of God. And so as I'm in that car crying out saying, God, please heal my son. God, please intervene. Don't let me lose my son there. God healed a disease. And I thank God for that. I'm thankful for the doctors. But I need a God who can do what the doctors cannot do. You better remember the blessings of God. Better remember the next one. Look there again in verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know how many times God has kept you back from a serious accident? You think you're in trouble now. You have no idea where the devil would like to put you. I read in my Bible about a man named Job, and the devil came right up and says, God, let me have him. The Lord said, okay, you can have him, but you can only go so far. And you have to stop there. Off the devil goes. You know, aren't you glad that God keeps you back from being destroyed? Because the devil is a murderer. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He is a destroyer. And if he was allowed to get you and have you like he wants, you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be in 6 foot under in a tomb somewhere. And in hell. Thank you, God, he redeems our life from destruction. You say, well, I'm going through some trials right now. Thank God they're not as bad as they could be. Thank God that the Lord's with you through the fire, through the flood, through the sorrow, through the shadow of death. Amen. He didn't promise. He wasn't going to He wasn't going to keep, he didn't promise that he'd keep you out of the trouble. He said, I keep you from destruction. And I'll go through it with you. I'll hold your hand. As a matter of fact, I'll hold you through it. Don't you think you're holding on to God's hand? He's holding on to you. I just want to just brag on God and say he's good. Then he goes on even. I think David starts to sit up in his chair. And he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, if you are Almighty God. Now, here I am, all right? I see an ant. And the ant is hurting. It can't turn itself up. And it's stuck there. If I, as compassionate as I am, if I reach down and try to help that ant, you know what I do? I crush him, man. I mean, just, you can't help it. Oops, sorry. Sorry. You okay? But when God, Almighty God, reaches into my life, he is tender. He could crush me just by trying to help, but he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's not a wimp. He's not weak. And yet he's kind. Thank God. The God who made every galaxy, every square inch of this universe reaches down and says, can I help? That's my God. That's awesome. Maybe that doesn't impress you, but it sure impresses me. Don't you forget the blessings of God. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I bet some of you are going to go home and have a good meal. I bet some of you have a lot of good things in your life, don't you? Who gave those to you? You need to sit back before you sit down and your wife has spent the last hour preparing some big meal, and then you just sit down, and in 6 minutes, it's gone. And there's only one burp and a grunt, and you're gone. Before you dig into that meal, you need to look at your mom or whoever fixed that meal. Maybe it's your dad if you're Alberto. But you need to look at them in the eyes and say, thank you. Then you need to bow your head and say, God, you have given us good things. Thank you. Amen. The blessings of God. Do not forget them, because the devil wants to remind you, oh, the Lord's not being very good to you, is he? I mean, just kick the devil back to hell. Don't forget how good he has been to you. He goes on there. This is a good verse I'm trying to apply to my life. It says, he satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I'm hoping that happens. Because sometimes I don't feel youthful anymore. Amen. Aren't you glad he gives you joy like a 5-year-old again? I remember I was 10 years old. I remember my 10th birthday. I thought I had arrived. I had a dozen friends over. And I'm sitting there in my room going, I have 12 friends outside there waiting for me. And singing happy birthday to me. And I thought it was the greatest thing. And I came out there, I was like, What's the prince? Prince William or whatever his name is, you know? And I'm just coming out there, yes, yes, you know. And I was so excited about, you know, all of the fun and the joy we had. I mean, my dad had planned an incredible 10th birthday. It was awesome, man. We had a water fight, and then we had a, you know what a piñata is? How many know what a piñata is? Remember at New Year's we did that piñata thing and everything? We had almost 10 years old. I remember that to this day. It was one of the most joyful days of my life. You know what? I still have those days. Because God gives me those days. He gives me the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I don't have to live in the past. I remember that day, but I live it still today. I hope you do too. Because he's the one who renews your youth. Remembers, reminds you what it's like to be a kid again. Verse 10 reminds us, just goes back over that forgiveness. He says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Aren't you glad? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I call that perfect forgiveness. Now, If I have not encouraged you at all yet, if I have not reminded you of anything good in your life, if you have not had good health, if you just don't think that you've been very kept back from troubles, if you don't have much kindness in your life, let me tell you, if God has taken your sins and He has cast them behind His back so He can't even find them anymore, if He has removed them as far as the east is from the west, you ought to be able to shout. Somebody, there's a guy who sings this. He says, "I still get a thrill out of knowing the Lord saved me. It blesses me to know He took my sins." Maybe you've got a problem that just won't go away, and it may never go away in this life, but He took away your sins. That's gone. If you're born again, you ought to shout. You know what? There are a lot of dead churches out there. There are a lot of churches that have no idea what to get excited about. I know what to get excited about. Forgiveness. Real forgiveness. I mean forgiveness where God doesn't even bring it up anymore. Perfect forgiveness. He doesn't punish us like we deserve. You know how big His mercy is? It's bigger than the universe. That's a lot of mercy. I think God is just very good to us. We read it there in Psalm 145. God, the Lord, is good to all. But especially, look at verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant. That's obey His book, His Bible, His word, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. God is very good. God is very good to everyone in this room this morning, but it only lasts if you're born again. I'll be real honest with you. You know, God is good to you better than you deserve, but if you're not born again, it will end one day when you die, and there's no more goodness of God then. And you need to get born again if you're not, because the goodness of God only gets gooder if you're saved. Third thing you need to remember is the love of God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you what God had to love. What kind of person God had to actually look around and go, "I love him. I love her." Look at Ephesians chapter 2. "And you hath he quickened who were" what? God had to love those who were dead. Those who were spiritually dead. Those who had no interest in him. No matter how much they thought they did, they didn't really know him. They didn't love him. They didn't understand him. They were spiritually dead, and yet God said, "I love them." I told you about how I fell in love with Nita. I fell in love, and she didn't. I mean, I'm telling you, it was the biggest heartbreak of my life. I guess you could compare. I was trying to get her attention. She didn't want me to get her attention. Now, let me just compare that for a minute. That's God. He loves you, and you don't want Him to love you. You don't want His attention. Now, thankfully, she did finally fall in love with me. Amen? But the point being that God loves us when we don't love Him. And you have to quicken. He's resurrected those who were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were... You know who He loves? He loves sinners. Say, "Well, you know, I'll start coming to that church, Pastor, when I give up my cigarettes. I'll start reading my Bible when I finally stop drinking." You idiot. You got it reversed. Read your Bible and you'll start to want to put away the cigarettes. Start being at church and you won't want to drink. You'll find out there's a better crowd than the Saturday night crowd. Amen. Put it right. God loved those who were dead, those who were worldly. Look at this. Verse 2, He says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." You were just following along with the rest of everybody else. According to the... You weren't just following the world. You were following the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's Satan. God not only loved those who were spiritually dead, those who were sinful, those who were worldly, those who were even demonic, but He loved a world of people who were full, look at this, who now worketh in the children of disobedience. Somebody says, I'm a child of God. How are you living? Disobediently or obediently? You know, before I was saved, I was a child of disobedience. Ever since I've been born again, I'm a child of God. There's a difference. But God loved me when I was a child of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. We didn't fulfill the desire of God. All we thought about was ourself and what we wanted to eat, what we wanted to wear, who we wanted to be with, what time we wanted to get in, what we did with our eyes, what we did with our ears, what we did with our bodies. All we did was desire to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Hey, God loved us when we were like that. But I like the buts in the Bible. Verse 4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, we learn that, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? Do you know, I don't know if you understand this, but the moment that I bowed my head 32 years ago at a kitchen table on the 15th of June, 1980, in the house of John and Ann Cranford, when I bowed my head and I cried out and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me. I don't want to go to hell. I will follow Your Son, Jesus. Just save me. I don't want to go to hell. From that day, I've been seated in heavenly places. I received the gift of God, which is, not will be, but is eternal life. I got eternal life, man. Amen. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, I mean, He's not finished yet. I sometimes think, God, You can stop. And then I quickly correct myself. But I say, God, You are better to me than I deserve. You don't have to be good to me anymore. It's enough. But you know, God can't stop being good to us. Look at verse 7. It says that in all the ages to come, He wants to show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, Brother Leo, this life's been fun. Been like a roller coaster. I mean, ups and downs, scares and thrills. But it's only going to get better. I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but the Lord's going to say, I haven't begun to show you how good and how kind I can be to you. I'm telling you, aren't you glad God loves you? God so loved the world when it was dead, when it was sinful, when it was full of lust, when it wasn't interested in Him, when it was by nature the children of wrath. Well, what did He do to fix us? Look at verse 4. Well, He had mercy on us. And He had great love. And then verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, and He hath quickened us together with Christ. And to make sure you understand what He means by quicken, He says, by grace are ye saved. That's a good Bible word. It means saved from the wrath to come. It also means salvaged. God took a messed up life and He fixed it up. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The love of God is all. Did you notice how many times Jesus shows up here? Verse 5 says He's quickened us together with who? All right, look at verse 6. He's raised up together in heavenly places in who? In Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's not because I'm good, not because I pray, not because I do my best. God loves me because of Jesus. Let me give you an illustration. All right? I like John. I really do. All right? But you know what? I love John. Do you know why? Because my daughter does. He's part of the family now. And you know, when I got adopted into God's family, God loves me because Jesus loved me. I can't tell you, if you're looking for anything else than this morning, you're here for the wrong reason. You need to remember the love of God. That He loves you not because you're so worthwhile, not because you've done so much, but because of Jesus. He made me lovable. Amen. Maybe He hadn't worked on you in a while and you need it. But never forget the love of God. Lastly, we need to remember the grace of God. Go to Titus chapter 3, to the right. First and second Timothy, then comes Titus, just before Hebrews. Titus chapter 3, the grace of God. All these things are things that, oh, well, Pastor, tell me about prosperity. Pastor, preach to me about being in health. And preach, tell me about how I can make some money. You're in the wrong church. This place, we're going to talk about what God wants to give you this morning. We don't hold seminars. We tell the truth that you need the mercies of God. You need the blessings of God, not the blessings of the government. You need the love of God. You may be the loneliest person on this planet, but if you have the love of God, you'll do all right. And you need the grace of God. Let's look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. We were hateful and hating one another. Anybody fit those descriptions? Hopefully not within the last 2 hours. I like the buts in the Bible. Verse 4, but after that the kindness, I love these words, and love of God our Savior toward us appeared, not by works of my righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us a little bit, right? Abundantly through, here's our hero, Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, you know what we were? If we were honest, we were fools. Before I was saved, I acted like there was no God. I didn't think there needed to be a God. I thought that math would explain everything about the stars. I thought physics and science would explain how we all got here. I was sadly mistaken. I was foolish. I lived the fool's life. I got behind the car, the wheel of a car with my friends late on a Friday night, and we raced. And I drove like there was no tomorrow. And we turned turns and we came around those corners at 16 years old. There was nothing that could happen to me until I lost control and the car flipped 3 times, crushing the top. My best friend in the car, both of us should have died. Funny. I was a fool. I lived like there was no God. I lived like there was no life after death. I lived like there was no devil. I lived like I was all there was. We were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. Some of you are still conned by believing Oprah Winfrey over the Bible. Some of you are still duped and tricked like a car salesman could sell you your own shoes. Because you're just so easily duped. We're deceived so easily instead of believing the truth. We're in bondage to lust. If you be honest, you'd look back on your life and the sin that was there and you'd realize, I was in bondage. I lived in malice. You know what malice is? A good word for malice is meanness. Leo, I remember you. I like the new Leo. Amen. And let me tell you something. You really like me, the new me, because the old me didn't care about you. The old me didn't want to know about your problems. Didn't want to know what you're going through. Man, I'm just put up with it. I got my own life to worry about. I'm glad for the new me. malice, meanness, envy, hateful, hating one another. Do you know no amount of good works could ever fix us? Then came grace. I asked somebody, I remember soul winning with somebody, and I forget who it was, but I wish I could get them to testify and say the same thing. I was asking, I said, do you know what grace is? And they went, well, yeah, I know Grace. She lives down the street in 5 or 6 houses. Then came grace. Grace is not a person. Grace is the loving kindness of God towards unworthy sinners. Mercy is looking down at me and not giving me what I deserve. Amen? That's mercy. But grace is, here you go. Grace is giving me what I don't deserve. What did God do? He saved us. I love those words. Verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He justified. I like that word there in verse 7, that being justified. You know what justified means? It means pardoned. But I like this meaning. God took my record and so blotted it out with the blood of His Son, by the way. He blotted out so you can't read my record anymore. You can't read my list of sins. And I can now live just as if I never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. I am forgiven. I like that. I've been blessed. And I've been made an heir? Is this possible? Verse 7 says, that being justified by His grace, we should now be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What if you found out that you were an heir of Bill Gates, that guy who invented Windows? He's worth like 40 billion euros. What if you found out you were an heir of him? Your prayer life might increase. Dear Lord, please let him die. Because I'm really in debt and I need some money. You find out that you're an inheritor, you've got a guaranteed inheritance coming to you, it'll change your view, wouldn't it? You know, you're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I think we're blessed. I think we're blessed. And it's all because of not our works, but because of Jesus. I like how He washed us. You read that in the verse? He washed us. He renewed us. You know what renewed is, don't you? He started over with us. He does that every day. He regenerates us. You know what it means to regenerate somebody? To give them life again. As a matter of fact, what's funny, I never had life before I was saved. Now I've got life. Jesus, in Him was life, and that life is the light of men. No longer in darkness. It's life more abundant. He gave us His Holy Spirit. You know what's great? You know what's great about church? When Jesus shows up. I'm glad you're here. But you don't make church. You know who makes church? Jesus does. That's why I come. I don't come to show off. I don't come because Andrew's here. I come to meet with Jesus Christ, and He makes the meeting. And you know what? In your life, when He is preeminent, when He is there, and He's in control, He'll make your life too. And He does it abundantly. 4 things you need to remember. The mercies of God, the blessings of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. I think God's been very good to us. Maybe not like we want. But He's certainly been good to us in ways that truly matter, in eternal ways, in priceless ways. I think God was good to give us a Bible. I don't have to go find God. He found me and somebody. I remember finding out the history behind this Bible. Do you know how many people died throughout history just so somebody could pick it up and read it and know the truth? Persecuted and hunted and murdered and burnt the stake because they wanted somebody to read what God said. Makes me appreciate the Word of God. I think God's been very good to us. And by the way, it's in English too. Isn't that cool? We had, in Bible Institute, I taught a class on Introduction to Greek. Oh, I can't tell you how there were 9 men and women in class going, this is so cool, can't wait. And 3 weeks in, no, stop. 6 weeks, we're going to die. It was hard. It was only the introduction to Greek. I'm glad it's in English. God's been very good to us in eternal ways. Never allow yourself to forget the mercies of God. You know, you don't wake up and you ought to realize, I'm glad I'm not in hell. I'm glad I've got a life to live for Jesus Christ. God's been very merciful to me. The kind of stuff that I've messed with, the kind of stuff that I've gotten involved in and come out of, God should never have given me another chance. Amen, amen, and amen. The blessings of God, you ought to look at your kids. You ought to look at, if you're a grandpa, look at the lack of kids. Hallelujah, amen. They're gone, amen. That was a good one. Come on. Grandkids, now we take it. The kids, we don't want back home. Amen. The blessings of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. Romans 2:4, last scripture we're going to look at today. Actually, there are two more. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. If God has been so good and so rich in His goodness toward us, in patience and forbearance and long-suffering, look at verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that all of that goodness of God is there for one reason, to lead you to what? He's trying to get you changed. God's not being good to you because you're good. God's not being good to you because He just wants to be sweet. He's trying to get you right. Trying to get you on the straight and narrow. Trying to get you to follow His Son, the Lord Jesus. Trying to get you ready for heaven. Don't ever despise the goodness of God. Don't ever despise the fact that somebody invited you to church and they were kind to you. Don't ever despise the fact that somebody didn't take a sword and put it in your belly and say, you better get into a religion or whatever. Thank God somebody said, you need to make a choice. Choose you this day. And gave it to you and taught you about the love of God and the justice of God and taught you you could be born again. Be glad that God is very good to you instead of harsh. Don't put it off. Don't think it doesn't matter. Don't despise the goodness of God. Did you know God has given you today another opportunity just to know Him and to follow Him? You're in Romans. Go to the right. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 2. For He, he's talking about God, He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm glad it doesn't say back then. He's actually talking to us right now. He says, now is the accepted time. Go to Hebrews. This is truly the last one. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7 starts off and it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, speaking back when Israel came out of Egypt and their hearts got harder, no matter how good God was, they just got harder and harder. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, they saw my works for 40 years and His works were good. Wherefore, listen to these words. This is for you this morning. If you're not born again, if you're too proud to admit that you need Jesus Christ, it says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, God said, they shall not enter into my rest. God does have a limit. Right now, God's very good in giving you another opportunity, if you're not saved this morning, to get saved. I sat in where you sat for 7 or 8 weeks when I was 17 years old. A woman at a coffee shop invited me out to church, gave me the gospel. None of it made sense, but I came to church, and I loved it. I loved the singing. I loved the fact that that man stood up there and he preached like a man. I loved the fact that everything he said came out of that Bible. It didn't make anything up, didn't talk airy-fairy stuff, didn't talk psychobabble. He preached just what Jesus said. I liked it. Didn't understand it, but I liked it. And then he gave the invitation. He said, those of you who are not born again, you need to get saved today. Don't put it off tomorrow. And I went, well, that's nice. Let's see who gets saved. You actually did. And I went, well, that's nice. Went away, came back the next week. He preached again. I said, man, I like this. And then at the end of the message, he said, there's somebody in this room probably who's not born again. You'll go out into your car and you may go off into eternity without Jesus Christ, and there's no hope then. Would you not get saved today? And I said, I wonder who's going to get saved today. And a few of them did. And then I went home, and I came back the next week, that next Sunday, and he preached again, and he gave the same invitation again. I went, who's going to get saved today? 7 weeks before the penny dropped. And he preached and he said, don't go to hell for anyone. Don't worry about what anybody else does. If you were the only person in this room and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to not worry about anything else. Don't go out of here lost. Don't go out of here without hope, without God. I said, he's talking to me. And I fought it. Texans have a little problem with pride. Little problem with pride. I said, other people have done. I'd be so embarrassed. And he said, I'm going to finish the invitation. If you don't get saved, this may be your last chance. I said, okay. He bowed his head and he prayed, and my heart began to break out of my chest. And I said, I'm going to hell. If I go back into my car, I believe I've been given my last chance. I said, today, I got to get saved. And now the pastor's finished. And I wanted to stand up and say, give me another chance. And it was awful. As that meeting finished up, everybody stood up and they were all laughing. It was a good meeting. People had gotten saved and they were shaking hands. And I went, I'm going to go to hell. And I remember just, and I grabbed this guy named John Cranford. I got to know him and I grabbed him and he says, we need to talk. And he says, what's wrong? Everything. What do you mean? I'm not saved. He says, that's bad. Let's go. He took me home, sat in front of me, and for 15 minutes, it was the longest 15 minutes in history, because he went back over the same thing I've heard all these last 7 weeks. I need to get saved. I needed to believe in Jesus Christ. I needed to quit trying to be good. I needed to trust that Jesus Christ was all I needed to be saved. I needed just to ask him to be saved. I said, would you get to the point? He said, if you're willing to believe that that book's right and you're wrong, that Jesus Christ died for sinners like you, and if you'll ask him to save you, would you just believe that he'll do it? I said, I'll do it. He says, well, then do it. And I didn't know any better, but I got out of that chair and I got on my knee right there at his table and I began to cry for the first time since I was 12 years old. And I said, God have mercy on me. Let me tell you, today is your day of salvation if you're not born again. Don't you be as stubborn as I was. Don't you go out of here and me have to do your funeral next week. You need to get saved. And if you are saved, there are three things every person in this room needs to do from this day forward. You need to accept the grace of God. God has grace of letting you hear this message one more time before you go off into eternity. You need to get saved. Accept His grace. Don't try to impress Him. Don't try to do some fancy works to let Him to let Him know, I'm worthy of going in. You're not. Accept His grace. And then every Christian in this room needs to every morning get up and say, woo! Come on, devil. I'm ready. Because God is good. Not because I'm strong, not because I'm smart, not because I'm spiritual, but because God's good. I can face the day. Thank God for His constant mercy and grace. And then why don't you start living a life of grace with other people? Be kind in the same way He's been kind to you. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.